I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
This week, you guys crush the reviews, we rank the holidays, and we discuss an article about how California suddenly doesn't have enough hunters to fund conservation. Plus, Ray Dunn Pottery, the Gandy Boat Ramp Victory, meetings on top of meetings, and a geography discussion that's right up Emily's alley.
What's new, Travis?
Oh, I forget. That's the way we do it now.
Yeah, we mixed it up, remember? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm new here.
You're one of those guys. If people still wrote checks, you would be like, you'd be writing 2018 on your checks, even though it's 2020.
Oh, yeah. It takes me a solid 3 months to get into the new year.
Have you ever written a check?
I've written several checks in my day. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know if you wrote checks. Like, if kids these days write checks, you're like one of these kids.
I haven't written one probably.
He's like my age.
A year and a half or 2 years though.
Some things that are new. First thing that is new is this is meetings week. When you're listening to this, this is meetings week.
Can you enunciate? Because people think you're saying meetings, like mead.
That's what
that
I'm
you
saying.
Drink
meetings.
Or
meetings.
Oh,
meetings.
Okay.
So tonight on Tuesday night the 18th. There's a meeting in Okeechobee about the Okeechobee Aquatic Resources Management Plan. And then Wednesday and Thursday of this week, there is an FWC Commissioners meeting in Tallahassee. And also Thursday, there is a meeting in West Palm Beach about Okeechobee Aquatic Management Plan. And also Thursday in St. John's, or in Fellsmere, there's a St. John's Water Management District meeting about Fellsmere Farms, including hunting access. So I'm not really sure how representation is going to go Thursday evening across the state.
Yeah, that's a lot in one day.
Yeah, a lot. So anyway, it's meetings week. We are running crazy up and down the road. And the other thing I wanted to touch on is circle the state on your calendar. I told the guys I would do this. February 29th is the mud run at Orange Lake. So if you're a Florida guy and you got a mud boat or you got a buddy with a mud boat, get them out there. It's going to be fun for the whole family. It's going to be a really good event. So expecting a huge turnout. Huge turnout. That's what's new with me. What is new with you, Nathan Paul Henderson?
Went squirrel hunting this weekend and with a buddy of mine and didn't see a stitch of fur anywhere.
What?
It was one of the most dismal squirrel hunting days I've had in a long time. I think the squirrels are hibernating.
The squirrel migration has been down.
Yeah.
I was reading on Squirrels Unlimited recently, and there's a lot of heated acorn trees up north
right. In
refuges that are holding the squirrels, and that's why they're not
a lot of
heated down here. Yeah.
I think it's the pecan farms in South Georgia.
Is that what it is?
They're holding them. Yeah. They get down there, and they don't want to come back north. So.
Yeah. It's to be expected. I mean, and you got to think the execs of Squirrels Unlimited are probably hunting those pecan farms. Like they're getting access to all that stuff.
Right.
So back
we should dig
migration.
Into it a little more.
Some investigative journalism. Emily, do you want to ask some questions right now?
Is Squirrels Unlimited? That's not really.
It's not a real
thing.
Okay,
just making sure. I don't know.
to put that in perspective, squirrels don't migrate.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Why does it have to do with them being unlimited?
We were making fun of, when you have a bad duck migration year, folks tend to blame Ducks Unlimited for that.
Oh.
And we were kind of tongue-in-cheek picking on that.
Neat.
So you didn't see a squirrel? Sorry. I hijacked
didn't
your story
see a squirrel.
With some
No,
satire.
No, it's fine. It was good. It was a good tangent. Didn't really even hear a squirrel. It was cold, though. It was like 31 degrees this morning, so I think they were just kind of holed up in the trees and trying to stay warm. So,
did you see any wildlife at all?
Not really. It was just wasn't a good day for movement. We did have my buddy's 6-year-old kid with us.
Okay, so there was a. I have been hunting with 6-year-old Nathan before, and I know that our squirrel hunting success was not as great on those days as it was.
Right. Right.
Later on.
So, but it was good. The kid got a knife for Christmas, and he was like whittling sticks with it, and
nothing better.
We had some fun, man. It was a good morning. It was a good morning to get out in the woods and kind of see it through a kid's eyes again. I hadn't hunted with a kid in a long time, like especially one that little. And it was fun to kind of see it through his perspective a little bit.
What kind of knife did the kid get? Like a Benchmade?
No, it was a it was a Buck 102.
Oh, know, with the black nice handle. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic. He's got his initials engraved in it and everything. Yeah.
Did he engrave them or nice did it knife. Come engraved?
I think he got it engraved.
Nice. Couldn't go wrong with that answer. Emily, what is new with you? Blowing up the reviews, right?
So many new reviews this week. This is exciting.
Have really?
You seen them? Yes.
I haven't seen
them. I'm about to
dive
in. So two of them are pretty special. This one is called All You All Day. Wait, that's who submitted it.
All You All Day?
All You All Day. It's okay. Called Keep. Keeps me looking forward to my Tuesday morning commute and makes me feel better about my food choices. 5 stars. Thanks, All You All Day.
Do you think he's giving us too much credit in that situation?
Absolutely
for his
not.
Food choices?
No. Also, there's really, that covers such a huge range of choices because of all of our tastes being so different. So
right.
That's probably true for anybody.
That's fair.
Okay, next review is from Kitty McMeow Meow. It's entitled New Listener Review.
with a username Kitty McMeow Meow?
Kitty McMeow Meow.
Okay.
Kitty says,
meow, 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 meow. There's so much I want to say right now.
That's funny. Trey Knight is my buddy, and we've been talking about this show back and forth at the Guana Youth Hunt. We started a conversation about it, then it grew legs. Anyways, I like what y'all have to say. I'm hooked now. Steve Ledoux. Oh, that's Steve Ledoux.
Yes, who may or may not
Chris's
be related.
Cousin.
Chris's freaking cousin.
To Chris Ledoux.
Oh.
Do you tangentially think that somehow that's going to connect you to Garth
tornado,
Brooks?
Across the western sky.
Do you know any Chris Ledoux songs?
No.
You only know of Chris Ledoux because
of Garth Brooks.
Bulldog,
Nate's singing a Chris Ledoux song, and you're...
Doesn't he...
Penitentiary's down.
Oh, nope. I don't know.
Long okay. Before you take this...
You going? Are you giving us some more?
I'm listening to Nate.
Are you giving us some
I'm
more?
I'm done. That was it.
There's a radio.
That was my Chris
if they
Ledoux
want to,
song.
They can turn the dial and hear actually
Chris
Ledoux.
We have an important update from last episode.
Okay, go ahead.
When? Was it Ward?
Walt.
Walt?
Walt Lee did a podcast with Nate and Chris Jenkins.
Separately did a podcast with Travis, and Walt had not... till that point invited me on his podcast. What is his podcast?
Chasing Tails.
Yep.
Maybe part of the reason he hasn't invited you on is you don't listen to his podcast. But
whatever.
Then again, you may not listen to this one.
That's pretty true.
I don't. Are we supposed to listen?
He says, this review is entitled, Please Forgive Me. And it's still 5 stars. Dear Emily, please allow me to offer my deepest apologies for not inviting you on the podcast before I had Travis and Nate on. Truly, I was trying to save the best for last. As the backbone of the podcast, I felt that I needed to clearly set the stage for a truly groundbreaking episode. Hopefully this 5-star review and endorsement of your remarkable podcasting abilities will make up for my oversight. Sincerely, Red.
Wow.
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 Okay. All's forgiven. Let's get this on the calendar. I might need a little time to study up on the topic, whatever you choose it to be. So go ahead and shoot that over, and I'll let you know when I can be ready.
Can I tell you guys something terrifying? In the world of wilderness podcasts, the only other female host that regularly hosts a podcast I know of is Gabby Hoffman. April Vokey. That's it.
Like it's Gabby, April, and Emily.
The big three. That's what we call them.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Did you see that April started her own thing? She's not part of Meat Eater anymore?
I did see that. Yeah.
That's odd. We need to get some math on that.
We got one more.
This is a good one too.
This is from P1 Pierce, Mr. Pierce.
Matt Pierce.
He says, you guys are right on track with the conservation of Florida. I appreciate your education on South Florida Water Management District, DEP, FDACS, FWC, and all the other legislative issues affecting wild Florida. Wow, Matt. That was a whole alphabet. Thank you.
Emily
Thank
almost
you
didn't
for
make
review.
It through that. She doesn't know. She does.
I do know what they all are, but I decided not to read them out anymore.
I know. I understand. I'm not going to. That is Matt Pierce, who's the sitting president of Florida Cattlemen's Association. And this past week, I got to do a conversation with him. So that'll be releasing in a few weeks. And it's a really good conversation. Got to go to his ranch, see some conservation in action. some quails, some pigs, some turkeys, just a beautiful, beautiful piece of property. So really cool. Thank you for leaving those reviews, guys.
Yes. It's so fun when we get reviews. We love it.
It's the best part of our week is when a review shows up because it's such a weird place to get a thing.
Yeah.
The only other item I had, it was on What's News. Did you do What's? Yeah, Nate did Squirrel Hunting. The only other thing I had on there was we want to talk about the shirts. If you have not gotten us an order for your Conservation Isn't Convenient shirt or you haven't seen an invoice by Tuesday, the day this comes out, please shoot me a message and let me know. Because we're going to lock the orders at midnight tonight and we're going to place the order. So those shirts are going like hotcakes. They are really cool. People are loving them. So I'm pretty pumped about it.
Where can they go to see a sample of the design?
You can go to any of the social medias at Cast and Blast FL on Instagram. I posted on there over the weekend. It's on our Facebook page and it's on the Facebook group, Cast and Blast Florida, the group. Which we've never said this and I don't know why I did it this way, but Cast and Blast Florida, the group uses an ampersand. It's Cast and Blast Florida, not the word A-N-D. So if you search for it, sometimes you won't find it. So that was a mistake in the marketing world where I live. Want to do a segment before we get into our big idea called A Game is the Foot. It's a recurring segment that we do, and we often mix it up and have different games every week. And this week, we just finished Valentine's Day. And have you noticed that in the Valentine's Day world, there are two camps? There's the camp that has zero regard for Valentine's Day, and then there's the camp that thinks Valentine's Day is like the holiest of holies. Like,
right.
It's up there on the list. Emily and I tend to fall into the holy crap, today was Valentine's Day. My bad. Happy Valentine's Day. Like, if it wasn't for social media, we would not be aware of it. But it got me wondering. I saw a meme that said instead of Valentine's Day, we should do second Thanksgiving. And I tend to agree with that. So as people that are, I want us to put a slant on this. We're going to do a ranking, but I want us to put a slant on this as outdoors people rank the major holiday. Okay, Nate, you go first.
I'm going to go with number three, Memorial Day.
Okay, why?
Fishing. It's like this really, the really start of real good fishing season.
It's peak. Yep.
Like peak. Yeah. Number two, I'm going Labor Day because you know duck season's right around the corner.
Yep, and the fishing's archery still good. Season. We haven't gotten
and
the
fishing's
yet.
Still good. Right. And then number one, I'm going Thanksgiving.
That's the
because that's answer. when duck season has started, like the first phase. Deer are running around that time and it's just a great time of year. You get to eat all the food. That you want to eat, and that's my ranking.
Unequivocally, so. Valentine's Day would be the last of any holiday list, right? Like, it would be behind like Columbus Day and stuff.
Let me throw a caveat into Valentine's Day. Now, Valentine's Day is important for sportsmen, if you're into it, if your significant other is into it, because Valentine's Day is like the end of the season, and then you get to turn and you get to concentrate on your significant other for one solid day, couple of days a year, and you just really make it all about them, and it kind of helps alleviate some of the stress that was involved with you being gone for like 70, 80, 1,000 days, and all the 3 a.m. wake up calls and things like that.
Nate's so, straight spitting.
It's
right
a, it's an important holiday for sportsmen in a different way.
It's also important for another reason. Because February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. If you are not very careful about what you do on Valentine's Day night with your loved one, you could be dropping a baby right in the middle of duck season.
True.
Plan accordingly.
This is very true. Yeah,
that's really a pro tip.
But I do agree with everything you said, Nate. My top three are, I love Halloween because it's right in the middle of early teal and the big duck season, but it's also not Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Can I interrupt you and say we treat Halloween like Valentine's Day?
Yeah, that is I really think that's actually holiday. True. Yeah, I just love Halloween. I love how magical it is for little kiddos, like dressing up, and I love the community of it. You go around to people's houses and stuff. Anyways, my second one is Thanksgiving because the food.
Has nothing to do with the hunting or outdoors.
But I do love, like, all everybody comes into town and you hunt with buddies that you don't normally get to hunt with, and I like that. But I also love that, like, that's the holiday when I get to see my cousins a lot, right. I feel like. And so that's fun to me. Third is 4th of July.
Okay, why?
I just love 4th of July. I love all the music and I love how hot it is outside. I like the fireworks. I don't know. It's just America.
I agree. I like those. I think you guys nailed it. Like, I don't think I have to reiterate it. I think Thanksgiving's clearly number one. I think Christmas needs to be in there in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's Christmas is my personal favorite holiday, but not for outdoor reasons. Just because I have a Christmas birthday and I love Christmas. So it has to go in the list somewhere. And then I really, really, really like President's Day. Feel like it's just, it's lost in the shuffle.
When is that?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday when we recorded this. When this goes air, it will be yesterday. Do you notice that it's hard to keep track of space and time when you do a podcast?
Yeah.
Like you live in kind of a fake time sometimes.
Right. I had the Public Grouse event last week. And I feel like it was yesterday. Like, it just went, like, it went so fast. Mm.
Before we get into the big idea, we need to give a shout-out to one of our sponsors. Do you know who we're giving a shout-out to?
Fletcher Hallett Insurance.
Yes. Were you about to say something else?
No, I just had an ad for it if you didn't.
Oh, go ahead. Please, by all means.
So, last week... it was kind of officially the end of duck season for us. And so we were putting our decoys into
the decoy shed.
Yeah. And cleaning up all the things. And we were standing in the shed and I literally turned around and looked at Travis and said, do we have insurance on our shed? Cause I don't know that we ever followed up on that, but you said we did.
We do 100%.
But if you are still picking up from duck season, we saw a ton of posts on Cast and Blast Florida, the group, where people were showing how they were storing all their decoys and all their equipment. If you have it stored somewhere, make sure it's insured because you don't want to have to replace all your stuff with your money out of pocket.
Was it last season, before the season, we saw a guy lost his entire shed with all of his decoys, his boat, everything in it. So
yes,
it's worth picking up the phone, making a call to Fletcher Hallett Insurance, 904-315-5812. You can call or text him, or you can send him an email, fhallett@hallettins.com. How do you spell Hallett?
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nate.
Okay. For the big idea this week, we stepped outside the state of Florida to an article that I will link to in the show notes, and I will also have already shared this on the Cast and Blast Florida group. It is from the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and the title of the article is California Scrambles to Increase Hunting to Help Protect Public Lands. Basically, I'm going to give the premise of the article was they've seen such a decrease in hunters over the years, and I'll give you a couple of bullet points. 4 million acres of wetlands in the Central Valley of California. They've lost 95% of that to development. Over the past half century, this is from the article, over the past half century, the number of hunting licenses sold annually in California has fallen 70% from 764,000 in 1970 to 225,000 last year, even as the state's population has doubled. So to maintain wilderness areas, the state has been forced to raise the remaining hunters' fees, pricing many of them out of the market. Emily, did you read this article?
I did.
Do you have thoughts or you want me to go to Nate first?
Well, I think the next paragraph is such a good illustration of what you were just saying, so I'm going to go ahead and finish that thought in the article. So it says, this is quoting a 51-year-old hunter, Eric Smith. He says, way back when I could buy 7 pig tags for $5.80. He first started hunting with his grandfather when he was 6 years old. He says, now pig tags are $22 a piece. And you know, Travis just mentioned pricing hunters out of the market. We see that as well.
Absolutely.
It's just how much of that is really inflation versus trying to make up for other hunters dropping out.
Right.
I don't know.
All right, Nate, do you want to get in on this conversation before we just start?
My thoughts and feelings are, this is what happens when you anti-hunting legislation gets passed in states.
Right.
So, I mean, they talk about pricing hunters out of the market. Well, that's all good and grand, but you've also stopped bear hunting with dogs. You've stopped mountain lion hunting, period, and you've had to pay people to go shoot mountain lions because there's an overpopulation of them, especially in the Los Angeles area. You have basically stopped all lead ammo sales, pricing people out of that because steel and non toxic lead or ammo is very expensive. So this is what happens when you let anti-hunting legislation run rampant through a state.
100%.
And now they're underfunded and they're losing wetlands like crazy to development. We see this in Florida all the time, right?
Yep.
Florida is the next California is what I'm, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Florida is the next California.
This is why this is important to this conversation.
Right. If we don't step up and really hammer on our legislators and hammer on people that we need to be hammering on, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. Next thing you know, you're going to be paying $100 to shoot an Osceola turkey, and everybody's going to be PO'd about it. So, and you're going to be paying money to shoot pigs. Can you imagine paying money to shoot pigs? That's crazy to me.
One of the segments of the article talks about more rules, increasing regulations on firearms and ammunition sales are making it harder for hunters to practice their sport. One is California now has a background check for ammunition, and the other has banned the use of lead bullets for hunting. I don't want to go down the path of the lead versus copper debate today, because I know that's been hashed to death by some of the Western podcasts.
Yeah, no.
However, I will say this. There is not a debate in the idea that copper is going to cost more money than lead. And if we're seeing a decline anyway, there is no debate in the idea that that is an obstacle into hunting. Right? Like that's...
Absolutely.
That's...
Absolutely.
No matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, and I'm a little bit, because I only waterfowl hunt so much. Like I'll do a little bit of small game hunting, but 99.9% of my hunting is waterfowl hunting. So I'm out of kind of the market on the lead hunt debate because I already pay a lot of money for ammunition anyway. But I definitely think that is an obstacle in getting into duck hunting in anywhere because you've got to spend so much money. Did you have something?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't know how much it costs to duck hunt in Florida. You've always bought our stamps.
Oh, well, you know, something interesting I found out the other day is when you count HIP data, which is the Hunter Harvest Information Program, the federal program, which you get when you get your migratory bird permit. I buy what's called a Florida Gold Sportsman License, which is like $115 or something like that, $120. And it includes all the Florida stamps and fishing licenses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my license, even though I fill out the HIP, my license doesn't count the same as the waterfowl stamp I buy in that does not count the same as when Nate comes to Florida and buys a 1-day hunting license or 3-day hunting license and waterfowl stamp with it. He counts as a waterfowl hunter. I do not in our state.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. That's how the data works. So, there's some skews in the sample there too. Anyway, this article is just a little bit, the other problem I kind of had with it is at the end, they interview they tried to interview both sides of the conversation, right?
Right.
I just dinged CNN for that the other day. So, at the end of it, they come along and they interview, the head of the Humane Society of California or something like that. Humane Society of the United States, California branch. Division.
Yeah, he's like the director
assistant
or something
to the original
Humane
director.
Society. Yeah, something.
I forget what they said, Nate. Do you have it in front of you?
Okay, so they interviewed Samantha Haggio, director of wildlife protection at the Humane Society. And she said, while participation in hunting has indeed declined, wildlife watching tourism has greatly increased. And she said that wildlife agencies should look for alternative sources of funding outside of hunting to reflect the interests and values of the vast majority of the public. Now, I have a problem with that last statement.
Come on.
Because the vast majority of the public is okay with hunting. Like 80% of people, if you poll the American people, 80% of them are okay with hunting. Tell me that's not vast majority.
I can't.
Right. So that statement right there just goes to show she is absolutely disconnected from a typical American person and has absolutely no clue what she's talking about. So that's my problem with that final statement. Reflect the interests and values of the vast majority of the public. It's just not true that none of that statement is true.
Here's where I get a little sideways with the Florida as the next California. Is I know that historically California did have, you know, some waterfowl tradition and some hunting tradition and things like that. But when you look at Florida, we are positioned in the southeast of the United States, which has a very rich hunting tradition, which is, it's a hard nut to crack. And whenever I see or hear, again, I'll say this kind of generally, whenever I hear the Western podcasts, the big state podcasts talk about other funding sources for conservation funding, I think it's an interesting idea, a bird stamp or a birding stamp or whatever. But I also have talked to enough people that say, you know, historically, every time we've approached the birding clubs about a stamp, they don't want to pay a tax. They don't want a backpack tax. They don't want
right.
to be part of this other funding source. The other thing that I would say in this whole equation is, and we're going to talk a little bit about spraying again from a different angle at the end of the show, but we've talked about spraying the last couple of weeks. You guys have heard our song and dance on that. But when you look at the way FWC has to do spraying management, they take all the stakeholders into account, because what pays for invasive plant management in Florida is dock stamps on house sales. So really, Shane Mahoney, who's the father of conservation, the Santa of conservation, would say the thing that sets the North American model apart from the European model is the way the funding works. It's not the heritage. It's not the meat. It's not the glory of the kill or anything else. It's the way the funding model works. If you remove that, there's really no linchpin to prohibit us turning into a European model.
Right.
And
right.
In Florida specifically, when you look at invasive plant management, and I'm not getting into the specifics of spraying in this conversation, but when you look at invasive plant management, all stakeholders have an equal stake in that, just like what you're talking about trying to create within the context of giving birders an equal stake in waterfowl management. It's just a slippery slope in my mind. Is that fair?
I agree. Totally agree.
You've been sitting there quietly.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as educated as you guys are, so I have a hard time chiming in, and I have more questions than I do.
Do you have questions?
Anything. No, I was just thinking it would be really cool to do an episode breaking down the funding of the North American conservation model, like, into some detail, because that's really important, I think, mm-hmm. for the next, you know, levels of conversation. But one of the other things I liked about the article, if I can
sure.
kind of change topics.
And overall, it was not a bad article. It was a pretty good article, really, overall.
I agree. I like this section where they talk about the Department of Fish and Wildlife notes the popularity of its advanced hunting education classes, which are attracting participants. Some of the attendees have never hunted before. Others are seasoned veterans. So they've created basically a little community where people can be paired up. It's the big brothers, big sisters of hunting.
Right, it's a mentorship idea.
Yeah, which is kind of what we are pushing on from our side as well with the Help Me Hunt.
Right.
But we've seen it be super successful too, mm-hmm. because it's not something you can just go research online and do. It needs to be hands-on training.
Right. Well, and most hunters need to be able to go with a mentor X number of times to feel comfortable with their identification, their shot selection, their,
yeah.
Well, how are they going to treat the game once they've killed it? Like what? There's a level, and I forget what it is. I've read a couple articles about it, and I don't want to say it because I don't remember it close enough to even be accurate. But anyway, I thought this was, I think Nate hit the nail on the head when you talk about Florida being the next California. I felt like this is an important thing to throw out there, especially to our listeners, because you guys are so engaged in these conversations as well as the little fun conversations we like to have off to the side. So I felt like it bared spending a few minutes on. That said, we are going to shift into top three, bottom three. We've got, Nate was giving me top three, bottom three signals, but I thought he was telling me to stop recording.
No, we're good. We're good.
I think we got two more weeks and Keep and Release will be back. The reason Keep and Release is not here right now is we have someone that is going to sponsor Keep and Release the segment. So it's coming back and it's going to be branded and it's going to be awesome. So
coming back with a vengeance.
It's coming back with a vengeance. So y'all stay tuned. And really top three, bottom three is kind of the same thing. It's three good things, three bad things.
Just hold on yourself.
I know, right? Bottom three, here we go. First one I've got is the spray conversation again. And what I mean by a spray conversation again is I don't want to go into the details that I've hit on the last couple of weeks about all the different factors and variables and how complex it is and everything else. Man, it feels to me like we have just what's the right word for it? Like, we have just disregarded science and proper management within the context of this conversation, and I'm seeing it by sportsmen, like real deal sportsmen. And I struggle with what I'm seeing from some names that I would think historically have been some of the biggest names in Florida outdoors. I'm not pleased with that. And the other thing I'm going to say is, as someone that's in a lot of these rooms and in a lot of these meetings, I haven't seen those guys there, and I don't understand how you're formulating these opinions without sitting down with the biologists, sitting down with the university people, sitting down with the spray applicators, and sitting down with the fishermen and figuring out where, you know, there's always three sides, every the his side, her side, in the middle. I don't understand how this information is getting out there, to the point where this week I called some people and said, dude, I need a sanity check on this. I called some people outside the state. I was like, am I crazy about this? Because I'm kind of taking such a measured down the middle of the road approach on it. And the end of the day, I don't think I'm insane. Thank God. I mean, I may be insane about other stuff, but
well,
anyway, it's just gotten so out of control and so hyped to where, man, we just share anything at the click of the button. We don't worry about it. We don't care about it. We just roll with it. So end rant on the spray conversation again. Is that fair?
Fair. What Absolutely said? Fair. No, not even one.
The second thing I have on the bottom three is death by meeting, which is what
so
I'm
many meetings.
So many meetings, and I don't understand how we can reasonably expect, and I'm not blaming FWC because these are not all FWC meetings. I mean, these are water management district meetings and everything else, but it's like literally the idea is divide and conquer. And I'm not saying there's a conspiracy afoot among that, because FWC doesn't have control over St. John's Water Management District.
Do you truly believe that any of these organizations are smart enough to team together and conspiratorially split people up? No.
No, but
I think they're...
But
I think
what's frustrating is the other side of that coin is like, why couldn't they get together and come up with a schedule where all of the stakeholders that they share can be at all the meetings they need to be at? Like, come on.
Well, and I do think there's a siloing that happens there, that at the end of the day they're all under the same state leadership. So how does that occur? You know, it's like owning a business and you got a marketing department and an IT department and they don't ever talk to each other. How does... I know we see that all the time in corporate America, but it's just a little bit maddening to me this week, because it's like I'm going to be burning the wheels off the tire to try to be in places, and there are times I can't be in all the places because there's so many meetings going on at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you guys that can be there this week. We try to do a good job on Cast and Blast Florida's Facebook page of keeping those meeting as events. So make sure you share those, click interested or whatever, so your friends see them. Even if you know you can't go, at least click it so people will see it and it shows up in their newsfeed. The last thing in the bottom three is Ray Dunn. Do you know what this is?
I don't know what this is.
Emily, can you explain what this is?
So this is a...
has nothing to do with hunting and fishing.
It has nothing to do with hunting and fishing. Let me set the scene.
But I will tie it back to it.
We went to Marshall's today, the store, and I literally don't believe... Travis says we've been in them before together, but I don't remember the last time we were in a Marshall's together.
Marshall's is not a place I frequent because their outdoor section... isn't, right. There's not one.
I go there all the time because of all of the sections that are not outdoors.
Right.
Anyway, he goes and wanders around while I'm looking at stuff, and he comes back to me and he goes, I have to go sit outside. I'm distraught.
I was traumatized, dude.
I said, okay, are you like overstimulated? And he's like, I don't understand this pottery. There's writing on pottery and it's in a font and people are losing their minds.
People, like, there was a mob scene of white girls. Like, it was out of control. Oh, yeah.
So if you've never seen Ray Dunn, R-A-E-D-U-N-N, it's literally just like stuff you can buy at Target. It's like a white cup, like a white coffee cup, a white platter, a white bowl. But she etches it with this specific font. And so it literally says what it is. So like a coffee cup will say cup and a plate will say plate. And
yeah. Nate's picking up the thing you put flour in says flour.
Right. Like you're teaching a toddler what these things are.
Exactly.
Correct.
This is a cup.
When my daughter
this
was
is a
three,
plate.
My mom went around our house and stuck sticky notes on things so that it said plate and cup, and they were like an orange little sticky note. That is what Ray Dunn has done. But suburban housewife with the yoga pants has decided this is what she needs to go with her Starbucks.
So it's a it's a collection, and you want to get every piece. So people are finding them. They sell them on Facebook Marketplace. Like, it's a whole thing.
And what I thought to myself during this whole saga, because it's so dumb. In fact, I made an ad for the podcast the other day that just says podcast.
In the Ray Dunn
font.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which, by the
really
way,
good.
I downloaded the Ray Dunn font and made that in like 5 seconds. That's how much effort she's putting into that coffee cup you're drinking out of, ladies. But let me say this. The way I'm going to tie this back together is the simplicity that goes into thinking this is the greatest thing ever because I can buy it at Marshall's and it's a plate that says plate is the same simplicity that allows you to fall victim to the idea of a hashtag like hashtag stop spraying. Like it's the same kind of, you get caught up in this mob. In that case, the mob is about pottery. In this case, the mob is about science and wildlife management. It's just fascinating to me and also big league disturbing.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
You're getting married. Have you registered for any Ray Dunn products?
No. Thank God, no. I know what a dang cup is. I know what a dang plate is.
Can we get a feature interview with the official fiance of the show, Catherine, to confirm that you are not going to have Ray Dunn products in your house so you know where the butter is?
I can confirm it right now I can confirm it right now. We don't have anything
100%
of that nature. 100%.
You think Ray Dunn would make a duck call and make it white and just write duck call on the side?
She'd probably just white
call.
Like quack. Quack.
Dude, they had this
blow
thing
here
in there that had wheels on it. I don't even know what the I was looking at. It was so disturbing. And it says hop to it on it. And I'm like, well, this doesn't. Are you telling us what the things are, or are you just making clever little sayings, Ray? Because I don't understand where the line is there. Okay.
White top people, three. Man.
Yes. White people be like.
Top three. First thing we have on the top three is the Gandy boat ramp saga that unfolded last week. And you guys responded, shared, wrote letters. I saw copies of letters and phone calls and things that our listeners made. And the Hillsborough County officials released a statement and said, we never talked about doing that, and it's a bad idea.
What boat ramp? That's what they said. We don't, what?
Yeah.
What boat ramp?
So, yeah. Thank you. It was very much a real conversation they were having. This was not a, they were doing it in secret behind closed doors. There were some folks out there where they're like, how do you know this is real? I don't want to share this. I'm not sure this is real. Dude, generally speaking, if I'm going to put it on the page, it's real. Once it gets here, like
right.
I've confirmed it with some folks that are getting paid by somewhere in the state, but
right.
That got kind of beat back down. And I thought that was a big win for sportsmen that should be celebrated, and a big win that a lot of you guys participated in and should be celebrated. So, just thank you so much for reacting so quickly to that. I forget how many shares and views and everything our post had, and ours wasn't the only post on it. Like Captain Dave Marquette, T.A. Mahoney's, there were other. It wasn't because of us. It was because of the collective group of sportsmen that were in it, but you guys played a big part in that. And so I really appreciate that, and thank you guys so much. That was a big win.
Way to go.
I was proud of that. The second thing in the top three is the Between the Beaches podcast. Anybody listen to that? Did you get a chance to listen to it?
I haven't yet. Is it on Spotify or is it on iTunes?
It is on Spotify. A lot of people ask this. Let me tell you what it is. It's a friend of mine, Brad Ferris, who is a artist, poet. He's a singer. He's a cowboy. He's like a seventh or eighth generation Floridian. And he started a podcast talking about his heritage. And he's not Louis L'Amour. He's Brad Ferris. But he'll hear this and know that you think he's Louis L'Amour. Anyway, he's a great storyteller. The first one is a monologue. So he even told me, he's like, man, it's hard doing a monologue because it was about 30 minutes. But the two times where it felt like it got slow to me, he pivoted away to something else. And they won't be monologues in the future. He just had to set the story. And I also said, if you go back and listen to our first podcast, it's not. His is like 27 times better than our first one.
Yeah.
So on Spotify, it is Between the Beaches with no spaces in it. Or you can search for Brad Ferris. That's P-H-A-R-E-S. If you like A Land Remembered, the story he tells of his family history in the opening episode is essentially the story from A Land Remembered. I mean, they ran cattle to Ponderosa. And they sold their cattle to Cuba, went on ships, so they got paid Spanish gold to sell their cows. And man, it's just, it gives me goosebumps because we've wanted to do a Florida history type podcast as part of Cast and Blast for a long time, but you can only do so many things and do them well. So I'm really excited to see Brad step up, and I appreciate you guys again. I can't tell you how many of our listeners I know are active listeners for our show that shared it, commented about it, was, hey, can I find it on Spotify? Hey, it's not on Pocket Cast. And we've been working with Brad behind the scenes to make sure he's all up and running because we're all in this crazy Florida thing together. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you check it out, and hopefully you'll have episode 2 coming out this week. I'm excited about it. So, and we will be interviewing Brad at some point for our conversation series. And you'll like it because of his poetry and stuff. Like, he mixes his poems and things into the podcast.
I'm going to start a parody podcast called Between the B's.
No, you can't do that.
It's going to be the story of a 13-year-old middle school girl and her tales of lunch.
No, you're not doing that.
In the cafeteria.
Sorry, Brad. Last thing on the top three, and I don't even know how to set the story for this, but I'll try. I feel like I'm doing all the talking.
Can I do it?
Yes, please.
Because I'm real. This is something I'm actually excited to talk about. So there was a Twitter post this past week that went, it had two trending topics come out of it. There's a sports writer,
Craig Calcaterra.
Yeah. He's okay. But basically, he went to his daughter Anna's room and took a picture of her homework that she'd been working on and posted it. And it's, can we post it in the show notes?
We'll post it in the show notes, and we've already posted it on the group on Facebook. And
Cast and Blast Florida, the group.
Yep.
She's redesigned North and South America, essentially.
Yes.
And she has some notes on the drawing that she's done.
And can I also interrupt and say, this is so close to home for us because of how bad Emily is with geography.
Yeah. And actually, yes, her changes made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You were completely on board with it.
I was like, this, I understand all of these things. For example, she lengthened Florida and removed the coastline from several southeastern states, leading to a second civil war and Florida's eventual secession.
Do you know what state she eliminated the coastline from? Just curious.
Let me try. Hold on. Alabama already had the Florida coastline, so she eliminated it from Mississippi, Louisiana,
yep,
Texas,
yep,
New Mexico.
Nope.
Oh, wait. What's that? What's
you did
that
good.
One?
You're done. You're done. What's Alabama, Mississippi.
You got them all.
It goes all the way. It goes all the way.
It goes through Mexico.
Oh,
through
real old Mexico. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, that is New Mexico.
That is New Mexico. What's that one?
Come on.
Is that... What is it?
Come on.
Is
you
it,
got it.
It's not Nevada.
Work through it. Work
is
through
it Nevada?
It. It's not Nevada.
What is
you,
it?
You work through it, baby. You got this. Come on. Glad they can't hear hand signals.
What is it? I don't know.
It's Arizona.
Arizona. All right. You're going to have to bleep that out. But also another really funny thing she did was chili. Chili becomes long chili. And it
runs
removing the entire West Coast and causing the Chilean-American War. So she has it come up from South America, and it goes around Mexico all the way up. So, like, now California and Oregon and Washington are not the West
that
states
was,
anymore.
I'm so proud.
There's a Chile took the border, essentially.
She invaded Canada 3 times in this map, and they didn't say anything about it.
So the smokestack of Idaho and the top hat of Texas both go all the way into Canada.
Those are called panhandles.
They are?
Yes.
Huh. They are.
She made a second Ohio, and she put it in the middle of the four corner states, so that doesn't exist anymore. It's called Ohio, too. Anyway, it is the funniest thing. 16-year-old girl.
It is delightful.
It is worth going to the interwebs and finding it and looking at it. I would like to put it on a shirt.
It reminded me of Emily and geography so much that I just, I sat on it for like 3 days because it was on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with Twitter. Did you ever watch Lost
on
TV? And you were like, I kind of enjoy the show, but I don't really know what it's about. That's how Twitter is as an app. I don't really know what to do with it, but I kind of enjoy it sometimes.
Oh my God. Speaking of apps, a listener texted Travis this morning and said, hey, do you know what TikTok is?
I'm straight fire on TikTok, y'all.
If you want to see what Travis considers a TikTok.
At Travis Thompson CBFL.
He's out there.
I'm living the dream,
He's out
y'all.
There making vids.
Straight fire.
It's just a worse Vine.
Oh, I'm in. It makes more sense to me than Instagram stories because it's a different thing. Like Instagram, I just want to see pictures of turkeys and ducks and fish.
You would have loved Vine then.
I don't want to see videos on Instagram. That's a different app. So this serves the purpose perfectly. So I'm on TikTok. Make sure you check out Anna's map. The whole situation is delightful right now. Nate, the only problem I have with this map is that there's an Ohio 2, and I'm not even thrilled about there being an Ohio 1.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Oh, the other thing that she did that was super controversial was, was it Wyoming? She got rid of Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
Wyoming deemed unnecessary and removed.
Yeah, there's like a real theory that Wyoming's not actually a state.
So there is.
Can I tell y'all something that adds into that theory? Because we are so far off the rails and we're done, essentially. Is we have a listener that moved to Wyoming, mm-hmm. a loyal listener of the show. Yet, if you look at our map of where listeners are distributed, I can't say words. Wyoming doesn't have a listener in it.
Zero listeners.
We've never had a listen in Wyoming, even though we've also had people go there on a hunt and listen to episodes. I'm beginning to believe that what's happened is there's no cell towers in Wyoming. They like surround the state. And they're just like piggybacking off the adjoining states because we can't get a listener in Wyoming for some reason. I don't understand how this works. Like, I really don't. We have a crap ton of listeners in the United States, And still, we only have 49 out of the 50 states. We've got like 72 countries and we don't have Wyoming. Which, what the heck?
Why are people listening to us at all?
Oh, we're big in Turkey.
Are we?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would like to add one final thought to Anna's map.
Do you think it's because of turkey season?
God bless.
Yes, yes.
What would you like to add to Anna's map, Emily?
That's okay. We can be done.
No, I need to hear this.
Well, it was just funny because since she had Texas and Idaho invade Canada, and Chile, the Canadian police tweeted her dad and said, hey, we're keeping an eye on this. We just want you to know.
I'm glad the Mounties are on it. The Mounties are on it.
You think all 10 of them are going to go to the border?
Oh, sorry. Come on through.
We have listeners in freaking Canada. We have a listener that lives in Wyoming. He lives in Wyoming. His zip code is in Wyoming. He lives there. And he listens to the show and can converse with us about the show. And it doesn't show as a Wyoming listen.
It's not real.
Do you think it's not real? Do you think really it's not real?
It's like Area 51.
That was good. You paused on the 51.
Stay woke.
That's a wrap for episode number 121. We'll be back next week to talk hunting, fishing, and everything else under the sun. If you're one of the many new reviews from the past couple of weeks, thank you so much. But we still need more to keep up with the Joneses. Plus, if you love the show, don't forget about Patreon. We'll be doing another giveaway there the first week of March. As always, thank y'all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.